Welcome back, dear friends, to Get Life Training with Christian Pedraro on Relate Forever. And today we will look at unity, how we can be united in a such a way we can have the best fruit in our lives. And so this is very special because when we come together in unity, we can bear good fruit. And this is glorifying our God. And so I composed the unity hymn. And it has a stanza from Ephesians chapter 4 where it is written to be diligent, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And all the disciples who have been immersed into Christ Jesus are united, are bonded together by the Holy Spirit. So we just have to keep the unity. We don't have to create it because we already have it. And so we are united. We have eternal friendships in Christ. This is amazing. And so whenever you feel you don't have unity with a brother or a sister, it's because of lack of holiness, because the Spirit is holy. And so holiness is clean, is to be have clean thoughts and clean words and clean deeds. So cleansing is the key to have more unity sometimes. So be mindful of that in order to be diligent, to continue to keep the unity, to continue clean from sin. And so confessing and bonding to one another, loving one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so we look at seven things here. One body. And defining each and every one helps us the most because one body is one church. The body of Christ, all those who are immersed, they are part of the body. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the seal. It's the guarantee of our salvation, who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then one hope of our calling, hope of eternal life. Who wants to live forever? I mean, this is the hope we have. And so, one Lord, Jesus Christ, the anointed Yeshua, the Messiah, the one who has all the power in heaven and on earth, our Savior, Lord. I mean, He's the chief, He's the king. And one faith, we believe in God, the Creator, Jehovah, who made everything. And when we have confidence in Him, we have confidence in Him with our health, with our finances, with our relationship, with everything. We have hope and faith and love. So one immersion, one baptism, one mikveh, submersion into the name of Jesus, the moment when our sins are washed away and we receive the Holy Spirit as a gift in our life. And one God and Father of all, who is above all, and is Jehovah God, is the Creator. And it's so relieving to know we have to trust just the Creator instead of the creation. And so this is helping us to be united and define clearly these things. And so we sing usually these verses in a such way that we can be mindful of how we are united in Christ. So let's continue and look at the chorus, refrain. It's from Ephesians 5, continuing, and Hebrews 13, and also from the prayer of Jesus in John 17, and a little bit of 1 Corinthians 13. So Corinthians was a lot about order, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians is a lot about unity. And I will actually take some time to sing this. This is very beautiful. I took time to compose this over the years, and it helps me be mindful. And this is the secret in relationship, especially in marriage. Every one of you love his wife, the spouse reverence her husband honor Mary Jean Hall, being content with what you have. Pray for the disciples all to be one, brothers to dwell together in unity, and I remain this free faith, hope, and charity. I love this because it helps me think about how my wife feels love. And we feel love in four kinds of ways. Sometimes it's through words of appreciation. Sometimes it's through deeds when we help one another, serve. Sometimes it's through gifts, giving something. Maybe there is food, clothing, or other necessary things. Sometimes it's just spending time together. And we feel love in all these four ways, but one of these four ways is more like a primary way. So in order to fulfill this guidance, love God, love our neighbor, it's great to define these four ways of how we feel loved and then fulfill it. So what's your primary way? And what's the primary way of your spouse? It's great to identify this, because sometimes we love the way we want to feel loved, the way we want to be loved. And so love one another and respect. Just appreciate the value of one another. I'm taking this the one another because in Christ we love one another and we respect one another, reverence one another. But the value, I mean, we are so precious in the sight of God. And take this time. It's so bonding when you just look in one another's eyes. Take time to look in one another's eyes. For example, 1 minute. And you will see, sometimes it's hard to focus. But do this for bonding and for listening. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. So just listen to understand one another. Take this time. Sometimes the other person just need to share. Just need to say to someone without having necessary response. And so this is very helpful for us in marriages and in friendships, because it shows us how to love, how to respect one another, and how to honor, how to be content. I mean, the writer of Hebrew was a mature Christian, Hebrew Christian, that he was getting the law, the Torah, the guidance. Because all the laws, if you look at the Ten Commandments, for example, the last one is kind of the key. To not covet is more like the negative, but to be content is the positive. And so in Hebrews 13, he's saying, be content with what you have. I mean, when you are content, when you think about it, you don't want to place faith in other things, in created things. You place faith only in the Creator. You are content with your spouse. You appreciate your spouse. You honor your parents, and so on. So you don't want to have the things of other people. You are grateful, and so this is how you actually multiply many times the things you already have. Just saying, thank you, God, for the light. Thank you, God, for the air in abundance. And thank you for the food, and thank you for the clothing, and thank you for the relationship, and thank you for the knowledge we already have. We're so blessed. And just praising God for what we already have, you see more and more and more. It's like an increase. It's such an abundance of blessing. I mean, just think about the air. So why am I sharing this? Because this is the key to the whole law. I mean, when you feel content with what you have, fully content and so blessed, it's far more easy to give, because love is giving. Giving God the praise. I mean, you look at the book of Tehillim, Psalms. You know, God feels love when we appreciate Him, when we recognize Him. And it's the same with one another. So the prayer is for the disciples to be united, to be one, just like the Father and the Son. And so We look at their relationship, Jehovah and Yeshua, together and working together, and we appreciate that unity, and we see the prayer of Jesus was for these two things, how His people, the disciples, to be united and to be protected by the world, because this world is always polluted. It has always these dirty things, and so we need to keep ourselves clean from it. So to dwell together in unity, because when we're united, we bear good fruit. And so, faith, hope, and charity, or love, helps us in this bond. So, what did you get so far from the message of unity? And so, we will look at the stanza of love from 1 Corinthians 13, and it describes love, because sometimes people think about love in different ways, but this is the description that Apostle Paul, the humble apostle, is giving to love. Love suffers long, so it's patience, long suffering, has grace, does not envy, does not brag, is lowly, humble, meek, behaves decently, does not seek her own, it seeks the other's interest, and is not provoked. Think no evil, sad in iniquity. And this is actually the best punishment for someone who sins. If you think about, okay, the only law we have is love, is give. Give to God the glory. Give to the neighbor what the neighbor needs. To those around us, someone is fulfilling, you rejoice, right? Rejoices with the truth. You're appreciating. You want to increase that. Gratefulness. Appreciation. But if one misses the mark, sins, well, this is the key here. Sad. Sadness. Surround that person with sadness. And so, if you think about in these two emotions, either appreciation for the good and sadness for the evil, that will change the world. And concludes, bears all, believes all, hopes all, endures all. And this is a great image of how love is, how to love, and what we have because of love. So, God bless you for your decision to love God and love one another. And this is key to unity. And so, when we apply this message for us, you think about God is love. And so, Jehovah suffers with Christian. Okay, my name is Christian. And so, we apply the love of God to each and every one of us, but personally. And you can say, God is kind with me. Jehovah is kind with Christian. And does not envy me. And is not puffed up with me. And is not looking at his own. He's looking at what I need. And think no evil with Christian. Enjoy the truth with Christian. And suffer everything with Christian. Jehovah believes everything with Christian. And supports everything with Christian. When you think and apply these things, this is an amazing bond and relationship. And replace that name with your name. I mean, say, hey, God believes everything with me. And that will help us extend that love. Because then you can say, hey, Christian is suffering with his neighbor. Christian is kind with his neighbor. Right? I'm kind with my neighbor, with those around me. Does not envy his neighbor. He's not boastful with his neighbor. And think no evil with his neighbor. So Christian does not enjoy injustice with his neighbor. Yes, we enjoy justice with our neighbor. So, it's just applying these things Christian rejoices in the truth with his neighbor. Or you can apply it with your spouse and say, hey, I rejoice in the truth with my spouse. And applying, you know, suffering everything with my neighbor and expect the good in our relationships. And so we see like a practical decision. We sacrifice selfish sins to submit one to another in the Christ, in the Anointed One, in the body of Christ, in the church, and in the family. So a little bit of going back to the roots, I thought about, okay, in Genesis, the book of beginnings, Bereshit, it is written in chapter 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, it continues in Genesis 2, a man shall leave his mother and father, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And this is very helpful, because sometimes the emotional bond with the parents needs to be addressed when we took the decision to marry and become a new family, a new unit, unity. And it needs to be addressed that, okay, so the parents are a family, household, a unity, and then we have a new family being formed. And so, whenever I need the emotional support that I got from my father or from my mother, now I get it from my spouse. And this is very important for the foundation of the marriage. And moving forward, in the words of Jesus, Matthew 19, he said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. One flesh. One flesh. So therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And this helps us understand how God is seeing us one in marriage. And this is a great image of unity. A man and a woman coming together for life to be united and bear good fruit. Be fruitful and multiply. And then, if we see the family, I also see the family of God. And so, Acts chapter 4, 32, it is written, all the believers were one in heart and one in mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. So, the unity in between the believers, the disciples, the Christians, it was so in mind, in the way they thought, so in the way we think, in the way we feel, we talk, and in possession, in the way we have. And so, 1 Corinthians 1, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Yeshua, the Anointed One, and I'm using the name of Jesus in original, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. In 1 Corinthians 11, I want you to realize that the head of every man is the anointed one, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of the anointed one is Jehovah God. So it's an order, and it helps us have these priorities in relationships, because number one is God the Creator. And then is Jesus Christ, the anointed Yeshua, and then is the man, and after that is the woman. So the head of every man, who is God. So when we take decisions, we check with Him. And so this is so helpful, because He already gave us everything we need to know. He gave us the guidance, He gave us the example. He has the power to help us, whatever problem we have, He has the solution. And we just need to remain in His Word every day, reading to apply it and share it with one another. So praise God for the Word of God, for the Scriptures. We have them in every language, and we continue to teach them to the youth, to the children everywhere. And so, 2 Corinthians 6, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has the light with the darkness? And so, when we get married, if you're a single, if you're a youth, you have a map of your life, and you say, this is, I'm in the season of spring, like I'm putting the seed, I'm working the ground, well, it comes the summer. You know, like, if you think about your life in seasons, four seasons, you look at the first 20 years at spring, up to 40, summer, you work hard, and then up to 60 is the autumn, you see the fruit of your work, and 80 plus is the winter, season of wisdom, and you can see the fruit of your life. And so look at that map, and when you think about the best thing you can do is, because it's not good to be alone, is to have a plan, how to have a family, how to have a farm, how to be in a community of believers. And so when you marry, you marry only with a believer, only with a disciple, because you are in the light, because you are righteous, because you are clean. And then 2 Corinthians 13, finally, brothers, rejoice! Woohoo! Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And the God of love and peace will be with you. You know, fulfilling these things, this is amazing. And Philippians 2, also, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in one mind. So all these encouragements to be on the same page, so to speak, with one another, remain in the Scripture, that helps us. And so 1 Corinthians, it shows us more on this being in order with one another. Now, we looked at the words of Jehovah, of Jesus, and the Apostle Paul. Let's look a little bit at the words of Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he's saying, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And in the context, first he showed how Jesus was obedient towards our Heavenly Father. And now, looking at Jesus, looking at His example, we can be inspired. We can follow that. And so he's addressing the woman first, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without the word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And so a man can be won when the woman is humble, but keeps the boundaries, keeps the limits. That's love. And do not let your adorning be external. So it's not by the looks or the jewelry or the clothing, but it's by your adorning to be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So this is the key. If you want to want your husband, be gentle, quiet, submissive. And in God's sight, this is very precious. So we get to know God more. This is precious for a woman to have these qualities, being gentle and quiet. And so, for this is how the holy woman who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. You have that confidence because you're humble, you're submissive. That's love. You're giving reverence to your husband. Likewise, husbands, Peter is addressing now for the men, likewise, just like Jesus, live with your wives in understanding. So, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may be not hindered. And as married, sometimes you remember these situations when there's a bit of a conflict in marriage, and it's hard sometimes to pray. But he's saying here, okay, be mindful that she's a weaker vessel. And sometimes this is a blessing. This helps us live more frugally or take healthy decisions. And so, just, this is a blessing. And recognizing this as husbands helps us be united. So that's the purpose of being united, and it shows us how. And overall is that spirit of gentleness with one another, of grace. So, we will conclude. If you like to join, we have constantly a workshop where we get together as marrieds. It is called Letter for the Family, or How to Have a Happy Family, or United Household. However you want to call that, is a workshop by Christian Pedrero. It's found on Relate Forever. And we will talk about, number one, communication. You know, the quality of our relationship comes from the quality of our communication. How we can communicate in a such a way we can have that best communication with one another. And forgiveness, you know, just not having anything on our hearts, just forgiving one another. This helps us clean, and we will talk about forgiveness and also the priorities, just like we shared. It's so good to know that number one is God, number two is the husband, number three, well, it's the spouse, it's the wife and the children, and number four is the friends, the believers, the Christians, and you can say number five is the rest of the world. But whenever you have a problem in one of these relationships, what's happening is like you have to look one level up. Like, for example, if I have a problem with my wife, I need to look at my relationship with God, because that's where I need to work. You know, I need to go back to God, and that will help our marriage. And the same, if we have problems in parenting, we need to look at our marriage, because when we are united, when we love one another, when we respect one another, the children pick up that emotional energy, and you can see reverence and you can see obedience. And so whenever we have problems in the community of believers, we need to look at our household. If the family is not happy, is not united together, because the families are the building of our community. And maybe we say, okay, we don't make disciples, the church is not growing. Well, the key is the relationship between the families in the church. Do we have communion? And whenever we don't have a communion, is because there are sins, and we need to confess and forgive one another and reconcile. And so be mindful of these things and go after it every week. Just check with your brothers and sisters. Are we well? No. How do you feel? And just talk about your things and take decisions and pray. And so it's just that in order to bear good fruit. Because when we're united, just like in marriage, we bear children. Well, in the church, when we're united, we make disciples. And the church is growing. And there are so many people out there who need Jesus, who need the gospel, who need the good news that they can live eternally and they can be healed and they can be forgiven. So let's be united to seek and save the lost. And so when you look at all these things, learning how to love and how to be balanced in all situations, to not go into extremes, and it's such a blessing to be united and bear good fruit. So I'll say a prayer, and I look forward to your comment in order to connect. If you'd like to join for the workshop, or you have questions, or you have prayer requests, you can find on ifori.church, the Bible school broadcast in English, Spanish, and Romanian. And if you'd like to visit us, you're welcome to write us and connect. So God bless you. And Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the unity you show us through your Son and through all his life on earth and with the Holy Spirit and the bond. And thank you so much for just giving us great marriages where we can be united and bear good fruit and see the children growing in love and respect and healthy and holy. And the churches, Father, just we saw so many churches where people are united and together they make disciples and seek and save the lost, and they are the hope in their community. So we praise you, Father, for your great plan with the family and with the church. And just like your Son said, every house divided against itself will not stand, will be destroyed, like every city, every community. And we are mindful of all these attacks, all this pollution by the world, divisiveness. Forgive us, Father, and help us overcome all these things. Communicate in such a way that we forgive one another, we figured out how to give to one another what we need. And please bless each and every marriage that is in this world in such a way that they will continue faithful until the end. Please bless each and every community of disciples, of believers in every city, so that they bond together in such a way, in one mind, one spirit, just recognize the spirit and continue clean, or forgive one another when there is necessary, or reconcile. Father, just help us, because you deserve to be worshipped in truth and spirit. And there are so many people who need you and need Jesus, and you already have the solution, you already have the forgiveness, you already have the all the things that they need. So we come together now, both in praises for what we already have, but also in petitions, so that we can see your mercy in our households, in our communities. And 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, to be in that place you prepared for us, with many people, many souls. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.